Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal here, spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass. My good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss joining me. Fellas, lots going on in sports. I don't know. There's no baseball today, though, right? This is going to be one of the only days in the next 15 that have no baseball, but we'll get through it. We got a lot to talk about. We have Gruden. We have...
What happened with that?
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Martin,
oh,
did anything happen with that?
Yeah, I think he maybe sent a text or an email or two or three or 65,000.
All I know is this team, it was 10 days ago they were 3-0, right? Oh, am I losing my mind? About. 10 days ago, they were on top of the world, 3-0. How psyched is Urban
Quite
Meyer?
Quite frankly, in this league, things change fast.
Yeah, that is what happened. And Urban Meyer, no one's happier than Urban Meyer, right?
Yeah, he's got to be.
That thing's going away.
Easily.
He should sign a six-year extension right now. I don't know what the end result there is for the Raiders. I have a lot of money on them to make the playoffs. Their over-under wins is all of a sudden 7.5. You could see that on extra
points. How did you not see this coming when you were handicapping this at the beginning of the year?
Oh, this Raiders thing?
Yeah, I mean.
I should have.
John Gruden, first coach, resigned. That ticket cashed immediately, right?
I guess so. There was a bunch of stuff in there. The first coach resigned, mean first coach fired. I think a lot of the books are honoring that Gruden is the first to go. So I don't know who had that. But, yeah, if you had Urban Meyer first to go, that's a sad, sad situation because he's next.
Well,
so what do? They Jay Gruden? They bring Jay Gruden in? Who replaces him? I don't know what's the story.
Seems like a wise maneuver. Yes. Wash off the stink of the past. Start a bright new future.
Right.
It's interesting with the, you know, the Pandora's box is now open. Let's see what happens next now. The debate about Gruden now moves on to any number of other people. Who was he sending those emails to? What was their response to it and everything else? NFL trying to shut all that down.
Everything I hear is that they were out to get him, and eventually someone was going to get him. But it did take 10 years. I don't know. It was a lot of time in between for him to survive and make a ton of money. I asked Martin, who would you rather be, Urban Meyer or John Gruden? And he said John Gruden yesterday.
That's a fascinating question.
No, I didn't. I was about to say, I absolutely didn't.
No, all right, that's right. I need to pay attention more.
No, what I did say was, though, if I was John Gruden or Urban Meyer, when I get to the pinnacle of my cushy job, like television, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the grind. I'm not going back to the hard work. I'm not going back. Because why? Because this happens. Yeah. John Gruden was sending all the emails he wanted to when he worked at ESPN. Nobody seemed to care.
But now isn't that the thing? Like, he's like, oh, look what I'm getting away with. I'll continue to get away with it. Isn't that always the case with these guys?
I'm just saying, if ever I just ride off into the sunset and I have that moment, I'm taking it. Like, I'm not doing the Gruden or Chappelle thing. I'm not
coming
back.
We have to remember not to give Martin a seven-figure deal next time because they'll just turn and walk away.
Half a year in, I'm out.
That's it. That's it.
NFL, I mean, football coaches are not the despite the in the context of watching football, we hold them up as the leaders of men and everything else. These are not among the great minds in society. These are people, the ones that are considered geniuses are the ones who quote Sun Tzu and military history. These are they do not equal great empaths of people who are progressive minds, and the expectation that they would be is a little strange, but I just feel like there's more trouble coming. That's it.
No, it's all over. It's fine. This is it. Everyone learned their lesson. It's good. No one's digging anything. What I want to know is, do you think Michelin is making out on this deal? What happens to it? like Corona with the, I mean, what did he say? He theorized it. What did he say? Michelin lips? What was this crazy? He actually survived that comment, right? If that was it.
I don't think that it was that was it. I just think it was. That was first, right? So that happened Friday, and it was like one email. And if it's one email, then you can have your whole weekend of, well, you know, I made a mistake one time, guys. I'm sorry. It was 11 years ago, fellas.
And not to mention the Tony Dungy's of the world were defending him, right? Mike Tirico.
Yeah, so you have all of that, and then you have the whole NFL weekend for guys to talk about how much of a great guy John Gruden is and how much he meant to them and how much without John Gruden, you know where I'd be. And then on Monday, it's just indefensible because all of those things that you said over the weekend are now irrelevant because you were all basing it off of this one time.
It also is why you have impartial juries, because people who are close to it are obviously biased by these things. People aren't going to speak out. And I think it's fairly telling that a lot of the people, not necessarily defending Gruden, but people who know Gruden are saying within the league. I'm not talking about people who had bad experiences with him and now are in the media. I'm talking about the guys that are still in the league. You consistently are hearing, this is a sad state of affairs, and that's all I want to say about it. No, I mean, because everybody knows that no one is clean.
Right.
With the exception of one or three people.
So what does this mean for the gamblers? I mean, that's all I care about here. No, FanDuel.com/extra points. Like I said, Raiders over under wins is 7.5. I have them to make the playoffs. If you go over, you have to lay -165. If you like them to not make the playoffs, it's -230. Sheck, you want to talk about that seventh team in the AFC. First of all, this is now an issue because the AFC isn't as strong as everybody said, right? You're going to get a 9-8 team at that seventh spot. Whereas everyone was like, no. Top heavy, 11-5, 12-5, whatever it is for that 7-6-7 team. But no, you're going to get a Denver. You're going to get a Cincinnati. You're going to get a Las Vegas. Or who else?
Well, Tennessee probably. That still is true that these are all really good teams, but they're going to cannibalize each other along the way. Buffalo.
We knew the schedule going into the year.
I guess. But we didn't anticipate that the AFC West would be strong 1-4, maybe going in. I think we can say goodbye to the Raiders. Who gets the 7th seed?
Do we know the AFC West is strong 1-4?
Well, the Raiders play Denver this week. So it's almost like one of those teams could go away, except for the fact that you're looking at a 9-8. Denver, a 3.5-point favorite on FanDuel. I bet. Last week, I've been screaming, Denver to make the playoffs. It's not happening. They're going to free fall here. And so I'm stuck with that. And so they will get the seventh spot. Who do you think's getting it?
I'll go with Cincinnati right now. Let's see how they respond from the gut punch last weekend, a game that they really should have won a few times. But, you know, you see teams galvanized by the fact that their takeaway is, see, we can play with anybody. Look, we should have won that game. We should have beaten Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Do they then turn that into a positive and roll with that? Or are they looking at, we really should have lost to the Vikings? You know, obviously, if Mason Crosby makes a kick earlier in the game, we're not in that one. They're the X factor now. I'll tell you right behind them, though, Sal. Steelers beat Geno Smith. They go into the bye at 3-3. It's not crazy.
Everybody threw dirt on
7 and the rest of them.
I believe you always leave it hanging out there, but this is the first official week you're saying the Steelers are not making the playoffs. I mean, if you're taking spaghetti, am I doing the math right? If he says Cincinnati's making it, I feel like we've run out of room for your Steelers. Do you think Cleveland and Baltimore are not making it?
There's a new rule that's coming in. They're allowing the Steelers as an eighth team. So don't
worry about it.
I know. That's the one thing you can rely upon is that the league is always trying to favor the Steelers. That much is clear.
All right. Well, the league might not be, but I'm going to ask you guys about FanDuel. They have odds on who is most likely. Well, I'll ask you who's more likely to make the playoffs out of these three teams, the Steelers, the Seahawks, or the Colts. Now, I get it. The Seahawks are not in the same conference. But just out of those three, odds-wise, Martin Weiss.
Man, if the Colts only played one half of the game on Monday night, I would want to say the Colts. But I'm still going to say the Colts.
Okay.
I'm still going to say the Colts.
I mean, listen, what are they? They have three games left combined between the Jags and Texans. Am I right about that?
Yes.
I mean, that's three victories there. So that gives them a nice head start in the playoff chase. I get all the songs being sung about Lamar Jackson and everything. And people are beating up Frank Reich for not being aggressive. And I'm all for 21st century Brandon Staley, go for it under every circumstance. That made sense. So we're reacting to the fact that a kick got blocked by the great Calais Campbell. Mm-hmm. That's the key moment in the game. And by the way, Lamar Jackson, I guess you could say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes, throws some bad picks here and there and high-end quarterbacks. His liability specifically is that he drops the ball. I mean, he was within a whisker of fumbling the game away again, second fumble, second time he would have fumbled a game away in 5 weeks there. So
Actually, FanDuel just put odds on plus 750 that Dave will ever answer this question.
Now, I can go.
Take no.
Oh, you're saying no? Okay.
I'm going to take the Steelers out of that trio. The Seahawks are done.
Not that they're going to make it. Who is, according to FanDuel, who has the best of those three?
You're saying Pittsburgh Steelers, sure.
I thought it might be the Colts, but I didn't think it would be this. I mean, this is a monster difference. Steelers plus 360. They're not the most favored. In fact, they're the least favored out of them. Seahawks plus 330. Colts plus 162. Colts plus 162 to make the playoffs? That's a 1-4 team, right? Right now?
Mm-hmm. They're 1-4, but all I mean, Tennessee slip a little bit, and then if they beat them head-to-head, and they win the South at like 9-8.
They already beat Tennessee already beat them, right? They have one more against Tennessee. They got a couple against those junk teams. They definitely look good. Top to bottom, they look the best out of those three teams. I just didn't think they were doubly as right there. That's weird. Plus one.
Well, because I think the way I figure it, none of those teams are going to be the wild card. Mm-hmm. So which team of those has the best shot to win the division? Pittsburgh's not going to win the division.
Right.
Seattle's not going to win the division. Indianapolis is the only one that has a shot.
I guess.
Fair, yeah. But look at the teams on the plus side of the win losses right now, and who is. I will continue. I know that there is legitimately the catch fire factor, and the Ravens are starting to believe, and that matters to the locker room and everything. But I can't get over the fact that that feels like a fraudulent 4-1 more than anyone else out there. Do you agree with
which
that?
Which one?
The Ravens.
The Ravens.
I mean, the Ravens should have lost to the Chiefs, who are not. To this point, a great team, but they still should have lost to the Chiefs there. They should have lost. They did lose if the officials merely get the call right in Detroit. That's a loss. And, Calais Campbell makes a dynamite play, and so you can't really say, well, yeah, as long as one of your stars doesn't make a play in a big spot. But they still could have lost to the Colts, who are not a great team either. I just don't buy this Ravens
but
team long term.
It'd be a fraudulent 2-3 team too, right? You if they were 2-3, you'd be like, well, they're better than that. I mean,
I just really don't like this Ravens team.
You're a quarterback guy, and Lamar Jackson has more yards than 18 other teams. He has more yards.
Spectacular. He is. I mean, yes,
that was lost in that game. We wanted to make fun of Rodrigo Blankenship and all that crap, but my God. Yeah. Was he good?
Speaking of Rodrigo Blankenship, moment of silence for all the extra points except for the people talking on Extra Points Network.
Yes, thank you.
Lord have mercy. Just the amount of missed kicks this weekend. Mm-hmm. Wasn't good branding for us.
Well, I've said this before, and I think the more we're moving to it, because when Lamar Jackson lines up for a two-point conversion, I'm like, oh, they have 15 plays that could work here. And as we move towards more of a running quarterback system, we're going to have more than that. When the Big Bens go away, sorry, Sheck, it's going to happen. You're going to have more running quarterbacks. You're going to have more opportunities to go. I think extra points become a thing of the past. I've said this, like stolen bases. Like, you're not going to see the Ricky Henderson years. I've said this before. I just think if three coaches, and the Steelers used to do it, and they didn't even follow the format that I did with a big running quarterback, but they used to go for two a lot after a touchdown, like 3 or 4 years ago. And then they just kind of stopped. And but I think if like two or three coaches start this up, that'll get the carousel going, and you'll never see extra points.
Well, in the copycat league, if Brandon Staley takes the Chargers to the Super Bowl playing foot to the gas at all times and making even Andy Reid or whoever else look conservative, then, people will start to copy that. It's interesting to me, too. We talk all the time about QBs, obviously. Kickers are getting a lot of attention, and head coaches, we swoon over the aggressive nature of those guys. What's the most important thing at this point, or what's the greatest disparity in determining outcome of games? Quality of quarterback? I always talk about QB saturation. 1 through 20, is there that big a difference? I know that there are some guys that we can identify as stinkers and limiting their team, but 1 through 20, is there a bigger difference from the best QB versus the 20th versus the impact that Justin Tucker versus the 20th kicker has on the outcome of games? And head coaches at this point, I'll hold up Coach Tomlin, who, still does the stuff about, like, I'm going to put it on the defense. I'm going to trust the defense and kick it away there, when Brandon Staley would have already gone for it by then.
Yeah, I'm not saying field goals. You're always going to see see long field goal attempts and everything. The coaches look at that differently. But I just think extra points specifically. You got the, you know, you have referees who are dying to throw flags on fade routes and everything. Then you get to the 1 yard line. Just, I don't know. It just seems like 5 years from now, we're going to be like, oh my God, they're bringing their kicker out for the extra point. We're going to see weird scores. We're going to see weird gambling results that there aren't key numbers like 3 and 7 and 4 anymore because of this situation. But I don't know.
I'd say, I think to your point about quarterbacks and kickers, I think you have like the top five stand on their own, but I think 5 through 20 are about you take them or leave them. Like if you, they're interchangeable pretty much, more or less. So I think that's like to that point. But also like there's nothing more frustrating than when you bet on a team and that team, like the extra point, especially now, because you can kick field goals that are shorter than an extra point actually is.
Sure.
And it's worth more points. So it just doesn't make any logical sense, and it really infuriates me. And I sound like somebody that bet on the Bengals last week, and I did. And I should have won that bet like 80,000 times because Mason Crosby's terrible. I'm sorry.
Well, at least as far as your point, Sal, to me, it's felt obvious now for half a decade at least, is that if you have the ball, if you're down, you score a touchdown, mm-hmm. down 7 points, and now you're a point down and there's 30 seconds left or whatever in the game in regulation, the standard of like on to overtime is crazy to me, especially if you have a QB you like. What's more likely? You have one play for that guy to make 2.5 yards.
Sure.
Or let's flip the coin. But if we lose the coin flip, then our defense better stop them and they better not get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But if they only get a field goal or less, then we have a chance to drive the field. But then our kicker better make that kick to make sure that we win the game. I mean, it's...
But those odds for going for the two are the same throughout the game. I know the scenario you just pointed out.
I hear you, but at minimum, let's start there, that it's crazy to force the overtime unless your quarterback is a liability. You should try to win the game there. You have much more likelihood of pulling the game out on a single play than you do all the math of, like, lose the coin flip and that, you know, all that stuff. That, to me, fundamentally is a weird math.
I just
decision.
Think one coach has to step up and do it, and that coach is John Gruden. No, I don't know.
I was about to say, it goes back to you talking about football guys and not being geniuses, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. That's the only reason we have jobs now, because we could call out coaches for shitty moves. Not that we could throw a ball. I mean, the fact that we make fun of quarterbacks is laughable.
What do you think of the Raiders, though, now going forward? Over under a 7.5.
No,
because that this
is a huge
things
game.
Like this can galvanize them. What if he's not popular in that locker room? I know for a fact that he's popular with at least some guys in that locker room. Mm-hmm. But maybe, you know, this is addition by subtraction. But he's the play caller. Practically, this hurts the team. It's not like he's some overseer of things. He's not the foreman of the team like some head coaches are. He actually is playing, calling plays in there. So this has to be
detrimental. And I guess it's about the new coach too, right? Bisaccia. I'm not sure where they are with him and the players are, but it's a decent team. It still is a decent team. You got a good quarterback and they have, you know, receivers that catch the ball. I don't know, like Ruggs kind of disappeared, but I thought that would continue, like stretching the field and everything, make big plays on defense. This is a big game against Denver.
According to TJ Houshmandzadeh, all of the people who are now in place now, like Rich Bisaccia and Greg Olson will likely be calling the plays, all of those guys are long-standing Gruden whole. Like, they've always been Gruden's guys. Like, you know, a head coach will probably bring his guys with him. Those are his guys he brought with him to Las Vegas.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I'm not absolving anybody of anything, John Gruden. I'm just saying, if those are his guys – that they knew nothing about any of this stuff before. That's what I'm talking about, the slippery slope. But now that it's opened up, I don't know, you know, how anybody sits comfortably.
No, nobody.
If you're in communication with
the deal. The deal is, it's easy to say you didn't know what happened 11 years ago, but you're also by proxy saying that there's been nothing since over those 11 years, over the time that you knew him, or at least worked for him for the last, what, 3 or 4 years he's been Raiders coach, that there was nothing that it would have ever given you the idea that these emails ever existed, right? That's the implication.
Maybe he's a little more careful, but yeah, there's no hiding it totally. All right, let's go to the Thursday night football game. Let's pick the winner, and by we, I mean you two, because I have to do it on Fox.
Well, there's good news, though. If you stick around and watch Sal on Thursday night, you'll be given a sure winner here.
I picked 10 in a row, right? I'm going for 11. Now, I can't make it too much of a secret. I picked straight up, and Tampa's minus 7. 52.5 is the over-under. They're a 3-1 favorite, so I'm probably going to take Tampa Bay. But I won't make it official. Let's go to you guys. I'm a little worried about this. A lot of Eagles. A lot of Eagles support coming in the last couple of days, Martin. I think you like them, too.
There has been. And I do like the Eagles, and I've just been trying so hard to find a number that makes sense. But in the spirit of Harry, the Eagles are 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 games in week 6. So, therefore, they're 6-0 against the spread in their last 6 Thursday games.
Guys, you know what week it is? It's week 6.
And in true Harry fashion, for the trifecta of irrelevant gambling stats, the Bucs are 0-4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games facing NFC East teams.
Nice.
Therefore, the Philadelphia Eagles will cover Thursday night.
We tried to figure out Tampa's numbers on Thursday night.
I can't find it anywhere.
Was it prime time or Thursday? It's definitely 0-2 this year against the spread.
I read a stat somewhere that had Tom Brady at least 0-7 against the spread in primetime games in his last seven.
I mean, of course I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I already told you I'm not going to go against Brady. I'm sure I will at some point, but that is not on this day. I'm not going against him against a fraudulent Eagles team that maybe played a little bit better in a weird rally in Charlotte last Sunday. I don't buy the Eagles as legit. I do like Javon Hargrave, a guy who's rising up and pretty consistently dominating, but overall I don't love him at the line of scrimmage. The Eagles on either side in the matchup against these Buccaneers. I get it, though.
I mean, I don't know that anyone's led their analysis for this game with Javon Hargrave.
Well, I mean, what's getting in the way of the Buccaneers' offense is the point. And
That's the thing. It's a high-powered offense. We saw the Eagles what they did against a high-powered offense. They stayed with the Chiefs for a little bit, but then it was one of the miraculous games that the Chiefs ended up covering. Dallas high power offense blew them up, right? That Carolina team, we don't know what we want to how we want to tag them just yet. That was the big upset last week, but there's also the factor of three days rest. And does Tampa get up for this game? They somehow got up for that Miami game. I don't know. I have to think about it. I'm picking up
with so many storylines. This is what Tom Brady does. This is what the Patriots do in most regular seasons too. During the Tom Brady reign, is in a week of so many things to react to, great games all over the place, college and pro and everything else, they just put 45 on a halfway decent Dolphins team, and you barely even noticed it amidst all the other headlines out there. They're going to be there in the end. The Bucs are going to pace these Eagles, I suspect.
All right. So you guys are going head-to-head with this, and you could do it on FanDuel.com/extra points. Yeah, do it. Thursday night football action. FanDuel. Sportsbook's about to make it even bigger, giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. Imagine that, Martin. You just figure out who to win. You don't have to worry about any of this line of scrimmage stuff. 30-1. If you like the Bucks, who are a 3-1 favorite, you can get $150 on a $5 bet. Yes, the same game parlays. You go money line, spread, touchdown score, or whatever you want to do on the #1 rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use. There's fast payments. Wow. When you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. That's why FanDuel is America's #1 sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code extra points this week before Tampa Bay takes on Philadelphia. You can win $150, $5 bet. Remember, extra points is the promo code exclusively on the FanDuel sportsbook app. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Lines, 1-800-889-9789, Tennessee. Visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. Sheck, you had a big fantasy loss this week. Also savvy. You're the savviest fantasy player in the land.
I am.
And you lost to Randy.
Thank goodness for Urban Meyer and John Gruden, or else Coach Damashek would really be, you know, getting getting a lot.
Our friend Randy beat you. I don't think he's made the playoffs in a dozen years, and he sleeps through most of the games, as you know.
Yeah.
And he beat you because he says you made a last-minute switch in your lineup.
I did, and because I'm vain and I'm a man of dishonor, of course I have to blame somebody, and that person is Jen Piacenti.
Oh, wow.
I texted her, and I said to her, listen, I want to know, and I texted Michael Fabiano as well.
Uh-oh.
And I said, Zach Moss
name dropping.
Or Jonathan Taylor, and they were on the fence about it, and I went with Zach Moss. And
they
I'm
were
not
on the fence about it, and you're blaming them?
That's right. I'm not going to – what did I just tell you? I'm a man of dishonor. You think I'm going to own this? No.
Okay.
It's them. They were kind of like, ooh, wow, that's tough.
Yeah.
I thought Zach Moss against the Bum Chiefs, if you would have shown me the final score of the game, I would have said, well, obviously, I'm going to win now. Zach Moss, that point total in Arrowhead, they must grind them up real good on the ground.
Right.
Well, Jonathan Taylor there, I mean, he's going to score two touchdowns with two offensive linemen down with position of strength on the Colts is the offensive line, and their best offensive lineman and another is out in Baltimore. Oh, it made sense to me. So I made the wrong decision,
Do you prefer losing, like, with Jonathan Taylor scoring a touchdown with 10 minutes left in the first quarter from 76 yards out, knowing that already he's had a great fantasy day? Like, losing early like that, or do you want to be in it until the end?
Let me give you an example of being in it until the end. I mean, I know you don't care about these other leagues, but I'm in a high-stakes league with Scott Van Pelt. I kicked his ass a couple weeks ago. A lot of World Series of Poker winners who do like $1,500 side bets on players.
What's that mean, high stakes?
How high are the stakes?
$250,000?
Oh, way more than that. No, not that much. No, higher than anything we deal with here. But it's a lot. And I think you should be able to take out all kinds of insurances on football betting and fantasy play. Now, a missed extra point would cost you a lot at this point because everyone's missing extra points if you wanted insurance. But Hollywood Brown, I was up by 26.5 points.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was up by 9 points going into the overtime, or 7.5, and he scored 9. What a disaster. So I hate Rodrigo Blanket. I just can't stand
When are we going to get FanDuel to start supporting our fantasy league? And you can start they start issuing numbers on our matchups. And
that's
interesting. People can jump in.
They should do it. Now, Martin told me he hates fantasy, and because of a lot of the reasons.
Well, because you end up losing actual games because of people like Rodrigo Blankenship and their faulty hips or knees or whatever had him sitting.
So you don't want kickers. You would deal with no – good with no kickers in fantasy. But that it still caused the overtime. That's what – Rodrigo Blankenship didn't screw me because I had him on my roster. He screwed me because he couldn't kick the ball 15 yards, and it went through overtime.
The other thing about fantasy, not to go on a whole rant, but I don't appreciate how every team has to have this many receivers and this many running backs. When you literally look at the NFL, no team is putting two running backs on the field at the same time. You have some that rotate running backs, and you have some that don't even have running backs at all, like Kansas City, right? like they don't even run the ball at all. Why do I need to try to find these two running backs? Let's flex those things out.
So everything's a flex position except quarterback, you're saying?
I'd have quarterback, I'd have wide receiver, running back. I mean, you should have one starting, and then the rest be flex.
Let me tell you something.
Do whatever makes you feel
better. Spoiler alert, Martin the cool Stone cats there will be there in fantasy terms when the games matter. That's the way it goes. The cats are always in the mix in the end, so get ready for that. In real football terms,
Dealing with two lunatics here. Someone wants no position limits, and then we're talking about the cool cats. You're 1-14.
You're goddamn right we're talking about the cool cats. You brought them up. Now, let me tell you this. In real football terms, what I've said many times before, and I'll say it again to you now, we really need the kickers are too good. In a week after
too
they
good.
All missed all these kicks, they remain too good. And what would be best is, and would support your going for two stuff, is you have to play 5 snaps of football that aren't you kicking the ball. It's very strange the way we vend out in the most critical moments of football games where giant human beings, superhuman athletes, are running into each other on purpose, and all of a sudden you vend out the most important moment to a guy who has no import whatsoever, a 5'4" guy to come and swing his leg, and the variation between Justin Tucker and Rodrigo Blankenship is is crazy and unsatisfying to me. It would be much better if you had to, if we went back to the days of head on kick it. Oh, it's a 39-yard field goal with our fat head on kicker. That's suspenseful. This idea of running guys out there to make 50.
What's the five snap? I don't even understand that.
I'm saying you have to, you know, Pat Summerall days. I'm talking Paul Hornung days. Paul Hornung's got to go out there. Oh, yeah. Hey, Golden Boy.
Go
kick
it.
Some field goals. Head
it.
On for
you're
it.
Saying that
by
if
the way,
ban
sidewinders, too. How about it?
Like Ndamukong Suh. Every time.
That's right.
Jason Hansen had a something or whatever. Ndamukong Suh will go out and kick the extra point.
You'll love it.
You want actual football players to kick extra points.
That's what I'm talking. What do you mean you see? That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I agree with you when that kickers are too good at their jobs overarchingly.
I thought we were talking fantasy. If you want to say kickers get too many points, I wasn't sure.
They do get too many points.
I stupidly thought you stayed on point here with the fantasy talk. I'm sorry. So you're just saying kickers in general.
Kickers in general are too good, too impactful when they were building the sport. I know people, the forward pass wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. But in the modern era, it was still in the span of our lives, Sal. Mm-hmm. Kicking was not as dependable as it is now, and it's unsatisfying. The way games come down, the way coaches lean on the kicker to win games or lose them, I really do. I find it more satisfying when it rides on the arm of your quarterback than it does on the toe of some rando guy in goofy goggles.
I don't think Ndamukong Suh lining up for a 38-yard field goal is gonna push the, I don't know, was that going to say?
He won't. That's the point. You won't put him on the field. You'll go for it. That's your point.
Rodrigo Blankenship, first, I know we got to move on, but he's only missed 8 field goals in his professional career. Right. We just spent this whole last 10 minutes calling him a bum.
Yeah. Well, he's a bum for me. He ruined my undefeated season there.
I mean,
I said yesterday he's blind. He's got an excuse. He's legally blind. But these other guys, I don't know. They should not be missing.
What a play though by Calais Campbell. A huge play that perhaps we look back on in January and say, man, this team wouldn't even be here if Big 93 doesn't break through that line on that Monday night game.
It's a fun game. They're the most exciting team right now in football, the Ravens, for better or worse. All right, let's switch to baseball. No games today, but there's a Game 5 between the Giants and Dodgers, and then the Red Sox-Astros series starts up. And I don't know, the Braves are boring to me, but they're going to play the winner of the Giants-Dodgers. This Red Sox-Astros has left most fans with two terrible teams to root for. Not terrible in that they're not good. But just, you don't want, what do you do? I now have Yankee fan friends who are rooting for the Red Sox. It's bizarre to me. That's how hated I am. Spaghetti, you're shaking your head. Yes.
I couldn't agree more. So, I mean, me and you've been watching a lot of these playoff games inside in the office, and you see how hot and angry I get watching this Astros team, this cheating team. Mm-hmm. The Sox just don't have hateable players currently. And honestly, like, yeah, it sucks to see them play, still in the Yankees, eliminating the Yankees, but the Astros, like, not only do they cheat with the recent stuff with the garbage can, the buzzer, they were cheating before that. They were fined. They're awful. They have, like, the worst players that, like, make you just ball up your fist and want to punch the TV. So I hope they lose. It's a disaster completely for Yankee fans.
See, I'm the other way. I'm not a Yankee fan. I need help from you guys. And I think I need actually professional therapy after this. But you could tell me if I need to go down that route. I don't want the Red Sox or Yankees playing any October ball. I can't wait till it's over. I can't wait until they're eliminated. Our friends Hench and Simmons, if Hench sells like a big TV show, God bless him. I'm happy. Simmons sells his company. What is the one that gets the game show host canceled? I don't, whatever it is, if he sells it for $300 million, I'm fine with that. That's great, but I don't want their Red Sox team because of who they are. I can't have them advance. It eats away at me. I think I need to go to a therapist for this.
Well, first of all, personally, I'm happy because my old man loves the Red Sox more than he loves anything else. So good for him. And I'm an aesthete, as you know, when it comes to sports. And so I like October baseball played outside, not in Tampa Bay's weirdo dome thing that they play in. That being said, I'm ready for my Jerry Orbach, Sal. When you were wrong, and now it's time for you to say you're wrong about this playoff structure. It wouldn't have happened if we didn't have this dumb thing with wild card. 9 games back, and they beat the Rays in a short series. That sucks. That's unsatisfying to anybody who followed the whole baseball season
to get
to this.
Well, it's not one game. How many games do you need? Does that need to be? Best of 15? What do you want, Rays, Red Sox?
Zero. That's my solution. That's zero. That shouldn't happen. Why a team nine back gets to play the Rays and beat them in a short
right.
series?
But
that sucks.
Then you get the other side, Giants Dodgers, well, which really should go on forever. I mean, I theorize that it should be like a tennis tiebreaker where just keep playing the series until one of them goes up two. And that's how we solve
that's
it.
That's fun.
But I think it's a bulletproof World Series for MLB if the Dodgers make it. Right? Because you have Dodgers, Red Sox, lots of storylines, or Dodgers, Astros, the cheating scandal. Red Sox, Astros minus 156. Red Sox take back plus 132 for the series. Which way are you going, Martin?
I would lean on the Red Sox, but I want the Astros to win. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really bet baseball because it's a losing proposition for me, as most gambling is. But
right.
I win much less in baseball than anything else. But I want the Astros to win just because, like, the anger that it elicits out of people is fascinating right. to me.
Okay. I would like every batter on both teams to get hit by every pitch, and except every third batter hits it up the middle and bonks the pitcher in the head. I don't know. I can't root for this. Who are you going with?
Yeah, this must summon some weird alternate universe stuff for you, although satisfying because you beat the Astros and the Red Sox in 86.
Years ago, sure.
Yeah, you made a whole documentary about it if you forgot about it. It just came out like a month ago.
I'll watch. Jeez, I don't know.
But yes, the Astros are obviously a loathsome bunch, and I think the Dodgers fans out there rooting for this to be the World Series are playing a high-stakes emotional game with themselves here. You really want to play the Astros? Because what if they beat you again in the World Series? In the meantime, I'm going to take the Astros. I'm not doing it based on who I'm rooting for. I'm telling you who I think is going to win it, the Astros, because the Red Sox, how long can you survive without pitching? I mean, Chris right. Sale is going to be your savior? Not so far.
Well,
that's their one guy.
It's more these relievers who are playing out of their minds, really. And they relied on two walk-offs to end that series. But I don't know how any of them are stepping up the way they did. They didn't do this in the regular season. Spaghetti, what do you think of this series? You got to pick one.
This is really bad for me to pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love people voicing support for the Red Sox because they're Yankees fans.
It's not
very weird.
There's a lot of it.
Unfortunately, I don't see how this pesky Astros team lose the series. I mean, obviously a big deal is the health of the Red Sox lineup. Cause if it's all healthy, I think the Red Sox lineup top to bottom could be better, but the pitching is a real problem and the Astros will get after the bad pitching. So I think the Astros are going
to
win.
Well, I mean, we can analyze till we're blue in the face, but the fact remains our friend Daniel has a lot of money on the Red Sox to advance. So Astros win. I don't know.
Can I ask Eddie a question real quick?
Yeah, I think so.
What was the look of disgust on your face after
your reasoning of why you're rooting for the Astros is the worst reason I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
In the history of sports talk.
Whoa.
They're a cheating team that had no consequence. You can't root for a garbage team. It's a garbage organization. There's a slap on the garbage pal team. And they only got a slap on the wrist. And those players, like they didn't pay the consequences. It's bad for the game. Baseball's already suffering enough. You don't need a team like the Astros in it because people are going to go, they're going to be irate. It's terrible.
Well, as long as you see them get vanquished in a big spot, that's good. But if they get to the World Series, I thought talk about funny percentages. Like I say, those Dodgers fans are all like, we need the Astros. First of all, survive the Giants and then another series.
Right.
But you're really setting yourself up for heartbreak. At least now you can look back and say, we would have won that World Series. You get the Astros again and they beat you, then what? Dusty Baker, no less.
Mm-hmm.
I just Dusty Baker. I like Dusty Baker too.
Dusty Baker just can't get over the hump. He's got an amazing playoff with five teams. Like he managed like the Reds and the Nationals, teams that don't make it to the playoffs anymore. Like you're going to the playoffs.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a little removed from it, but this doesn't feel like the same Astros. Like one team cheated. This team is not actively cheating.
Oh my goodness! How could you? That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying.
What is the same? It's many of the same people.
I mean, I feel you, but it's like if they were repeating,
Red Sox are cheaters too. I can't stand either of these teams.
All sports are just played on the up and up, I suppose.
Now, game five, Giants Dodgers. Dodgers shouldn't be there according to Sheck, but it's a pick 'em minus 110 for the Giants. I'm going with the Giants, going against a 20 game winner, Nureyas. This righty for the Giants. His last appearance came on Saturday, Webb, against the Dodgers. Threw 7 2/3 scoreless, gave up 5 hits. The Giants have been favored on the money line in 17 of Webb's starts, and they went 15-2 in those games.
Giants win a close one. That's going to be a fun one Thursday night. I know I said pick of the day, but this is actually for tomorrow. Shaq, do you have a pick of the day? It could be hockey, baseball. We'll talk pucks in a second.
Well, by the way, I'm going to take the Dodgers in that one. I feel like Walker Buehler surviving on 3 days rest was the leverage game. That was the one the Giants had to have. They didn't get it. I think that Urias showing up in big spots last year serves them well in this big spot again. Mm-hmm. My pick of the day is I'm going to go with, I said it, we did a little special if you missed it. It still holds up, I think. We're just a couple of games into the NHL season. Go back and listen or watch on YouTube. We got the Against All Odds boys together with Spaghetti and Meatballs. We did a tight 42, giving all our best bets for the NHL season. You can also track it down on -3. My pick is, and this will be terribly unsatisfying to ESPN and TNT, for a Stanley Cup final, Edmonton and Toronto. I'm going to say make that parlay. Bet them both on the money line. Pays off at +134. I think they both win. I think they're both incented, as opposed to other teams that understand, well, it's October. We don't have to hit high gear until January or February. I think these two teams are going to play
Are they going to be freaked out by fans? Are they home? I didn't even see if they're home today. Where are they? Edmonton's
at home, and Toronto.
Toronto's
I think,
at home. Yeah. They're playing Montreal.
They host Montreal. Yeah. I think that these two teams have had enough of the noise. Another offseason.
No, they haven't had any noise. There were no fans.
True. Right. I think both of these teams the roster is ripe. They've heard enough of the outside noise. I think they're going to play with great purpose throughout the regular season and postseason. I think they meet for the Stanley Cup. I think it'll be great for hockey fans, not great for their network partners necessarily, two Canadian teams. I think it all starts, like I say, parlay them on the money line, both +134.
All right. There you go. Yep. Hockey started yesterday. Your Pens beat the Lightning. We watched in the Icono House.
Oh, did you see that?
We watched that.
Spaghetti and Meatballs. Look at that.
I think it just shows what we've all been saying. They don't need Sid the Kid, right? They don't need him. They're better without him. Not even that they don't need him. They're just better without him. We've said this how many times?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I can see it either way. I could see a case being made either. Listen, Mike Sullivan, when you take his stars away from him, he knows how to tighten it up real good, like any of these other Barry Trotz bums.
I made a few
mystery to it.
How dare you? I made a few preseason bets here on hockey. McDavid wins the Hart Trophy. I know it's not good payout, 2-1. That's going to happen.
Not too bad, though.
Playoff parlay, Arizona, no. Maple Leafs, yes. Tampa Bay, yes. Florida, yes. Columbus, no. -166. I got the authorization from Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Those all check out individually, that's for sure.
Islanders win the East, but I also bet the Bruins to win the Stanley Cup. No one talked about the Bruins yesterday, 14-1. Always could get too far with that. But my big one was Seattle Kraken to not make the playoffs. I get it. What Vegas did, crazy, made it to the Stanley Cup first year. But -102, I listened to you guys talk about it, and I am well on my way. I don't know if whoever booked this bet wants to buy out of it, but they lost in Las Vegas yesterday, and they are going to go winless the whole season. That's my prediction.
I'm with you. That's one of my bets is Kraken. People are excited about them for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. The uniforms. At the top of the list. Oh my God! What about those Meatballs? Is a uniform guy.
He's got a box. So he just moved out here. The last thing that needs to arrive is his box of uniforms or jerseys rather, and it's on its way. I think.
Oh,
this week.
Sweet Jesus! Those things were dropped from the heavens. But the team itself, I don't really. You can make a case in year one. What they're going to do is, like I say, they're going to play real tight and you know, win games 2-1, and maybe that'll work out in a division that isn't terribly deep. But yeah, I like them to miss the playoffs this season. The Bruins, a little long in the tooth on that top line. Taylor Hall has to factor bigger than he had his stretches there once he got to the B's, but he's got to be their big X factor. I don't love him in goal this year, Spaghetti. I don't love the blue line this year. I think they get in. I think the big X factor of the Wales Conference, nay, the Eastern Conference, is the Flyers. If they're good, I'm not going to be surprised.
Some disagreement about that on the podcast.
I just think people react to the COVID thing. I don't know why, but it did impact different sports teams differently. I don't know why, like, Penn State didn't react well to it in college football last year. Right. So people slept on them, and they got better this year. I think the Flyers are one of those teams as well. I think they're all right.
Well, I'll say
this. Not great, but okay.
We don't have a hockey contest yet in our arcade. Our arcade is getting full, yeah. We may have to put a sign up. We might.
Spaghetti wants a side bet with me. He thinks his Blue Shirts are going to finish ahead of the Penguins this year.
Do it now. Now's the time to do it.
Do it, Spaghetti. Go ahead. What are you going to put on the line? $8,000.
I mean, I'll do that.
You would bet me $8,000right now?
Look,
but you understand I'm gonna have to. You have to pay it though.
We recorded. I'll pull back the curtain. We recorded our hockey preview with the -3 and AO collab episode. And after it was over, me and Meatballs were talking. We're like, he's like, I didn't want to get into it with Dave. But he's like, I don't really buy into the Penguins. Like, so we're in locks up there. I think the Penguins are on the decline. The Rangers, like I said pre-show, third youngest team in the NHL. With only one rookie, they're on the incline. I like the Rangers a lot this year.
You got a guy demanding a trade, though.
At best, he was going to start the season as a third-line right winger. I think with the situation at goalie has been resolved, I think that there's no Putin interfering with Artemi Panarin. I think Mika Zibanejad is not dealing with COVID.
His recurring point is about the Putin factor.
But he missed 2 weeks of the season, and you had your top-line center missing time and also being like 30 pounds underweight from his long-haul COVID. So I think those are all squared away. The team is a little more sandpaper lineup. I like the Rangers this year.
Right, don't bet $8,000. I know how much you make, Spaghetti. Don't bet $8,000. Don't do it. I mean, it's 73% of your income. Don't do it. Can we figure something else out that's more fun than $8,000? But still hurts.
All right. Well, listen. All right, I don't think it's for me and Spaghetti to determine. I think it's for you guys to determine.
Maybe we'll do that. We have a podcast Friday. We'll come back between now and then, Martin. We'll give it some thought. Not $8,000.
It can't be a tattoo because then Spaghetti can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery.
That's right.
We can't do that.
It's always been his mission. Yeah.
we'll figure something out.
Hey.
How about a steak dinner at minimum? That's a good low.
$8,000 steak. Let's do it. We could find one. I think we can. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. We got all these games, Shaq. We don't have hockey just yet. We have a college game where Tyler Krennic got 12 out of 15. Good job by you. He takes home a prize. NFL prop quiz. Dan Hughes got 8 out of 10. Nice. Joshua Gagnon. We have a Gagnon. That's not Harry. Had 12 right in the NFL pool. MLB prop quiz. Toby Mergler. Now, this happened.
Who's that?
He's a co-founder. He's sitting right here of the Extra Points podcast. Got 6 right. Toby, how many were in that? Do we want to say? No, we don't want to say. Okay. So Toby was the only one. He got 6 right, and he gets a hat. No, I don't know how it works. But anyway, there you go. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. Lots of games to play. This week, we have a prop culture for October. We have a Curb Your Enthusiasm questions, Succession questions, movies, box office questions. Candy stocks. I'm going to ask you guys one of the questions here in the prop culture October edition contest here is, Shaq, you can answer, or Martin, which movie will have the highest grossing opening weekend domestic box office this month? Bond, Dune, The Last Duel, Venom, or Halloween Kills?
Go ahead, Martin. I got to meditate for a second on that. That's a tough one.
My first thought was the Bond movie.
Yeah, that's the answer.
I've seen the Dune commercial a whole bunch of times this week.
That doesn't count. You didn't pay
for
it. It's not going to put money in.
Venom is going to have the
eyes.
Venom had a big one, right? I'm going to go with Dune, but I'm also basing that on the big asterisk on that one is people will play off of the rating it gets. If it gets terrible reviews in advance, then because that sci-fi community is very precious, and if they hear it disrespected the source material, then people won't turn out. If it gets positive reviews, people will flood the theaters for it.
All right, here's one more. How many late night hosts, Kimmel, Colbert, Fallon, Noah, Corden, Myers, will wear an orange tie on their October 28th episode, which leads up to Halloween? The over under is 1.5. I can get it. I can get intel on this. I can cheat on this.
I'm about to say, I feel like you have inside information here.
At least on one of them.
Well, I know it's not Jimmy Kimmel. He's wearing a costume. In fact, I think that he is the trailblazer among late night hosts of costuming up. It has now become standard.
Do people do it? I thought we were the only ones that did. He claims he hates Halloween. He's like, I hate it. I hate it. I'm like, you're the only one that makes everyone dress up as cereal box characters here. Like, what's going on?
I also think that he influenced, I mean, like the Today Show. And I mean, now if you...
I think they did.
Standard
the daytime
now.
Stuff.
Dude. Maybe they did.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Either way, all right, you want to take that out of that feather out of Kimmel's cap. That's your business. Yeah. But either way, it's standard now. You have to dress up for Halloeen if you're on a TV
so you'll
show.
Go under.
If you like, so I'm going to go under.
Unless the costume itself calls for an orange tie.
That's right. Why I'm going over.
Interesting. All right, well, there's
costume
a lot of
costume itself may call for an orange tie.
Two
that's,
out of
that's
six.
That's the loophole there.
Two out of six. Will be. All right, so anyway, you could do all of these. We have sports. We have college football, pro football. There you go. Extra Points Prop Culture October Edition. It's all on extrapoints.com/arcade. Free to play. Lots of big prizes. And there we go. Sheck, -3. Hench and Mina Kimes, right?
Mina Kimes coming up tomorrow. Really looking forward to that in advance of Geno v. Big Ben. The battle on the banks of the Three Rivers. Guess what? You want a big prediction? A hot take? There's a very good chance that Russell Wilson is the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, tomorrow?
Next year. Not like, because he has a bad finger at minimum. So it wouldn't be anytime that soon.
I see. We thought about this, and I lost sleep over it, why they didn't flex this terrible game out, the Seattle-Pittsburgh game, this Pittsburgh team that you went on record today saying it's not going to make the playoffs. I think they know it's Big Ben's last game. on national TV.
I think you're being sincere.
I am.
Because had they lost to the Broncos, there would be all sorts of noise.
No, but how many primetime games do they have left this year, I'm saying?
Pittsburgh?
Do they have two more on Sunday night?
Well, they definitely play the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. I bet that one. I mean, if the Steelers track in the wrong direction, they'll flex out of that, although people are really into Justin Herbert and company.
I think they're like, as long as he's upright, as long as he's healthy, we could build a storyline around this, and let's not count on him being. I'm not being a.
I think you're right. I think there's some merit to that. But now, you know, listen, it's for me. It's the journey, Sal. It's the journey. I don't think the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year, but the journey. Let's kick it down the road, because if you beat Seattle, it's two more weeks of optimism for people. If they're 3-3, you get two full weeks to get jazzed up for the Browns. And then who knows? Because on the other side of the Browns, there could be a couple wins sitting there for you.
Right, but this is the journey with Steve Perry's third replacement. At this point, this is the journey you're talking about.
You stink. Look who's puffing his chest out
because
his Cowboys are good for once. Listen, that's fine. I'm happy for you.
Oh, we can't lose to Belichick. That'll be an exit. I mean, if the Red Sox keep winning and the Cowboys lose to Belichick.
Well, talk about hating your own teams. What do you think about Hench's cynicism about that the number is not big enough? In fact, I haven't checked it in the last 36 hours.
I thought it would
go
up too. I thought that
was still just four for the Cowboys up in Foxborough?
Always light. I'm always heavy on the Cowboys number because I thought they built in a half point. But what is it, Martin? You see it?
It is right now Cowboys 3.5.
Down. It's actually down. Listen, because Hench is always going to get up to 5.5. To me, how often does Belichick ever lose by more than a score?
Yeah, but four is not.
If it goes up as he predicted, it does get a little scary.
Yeah.
3.5.
I know he's been great and as a road underdog, a home underdog. I know Belichick has.
So what are you going to predict here? Go on record.
I don't know. I'll give it to you Friday.
I can't wait. I'll do it now. I can't wait to bet on the New England Patriots.
Really?
I can't wait. I couldn't wait last week, and I can't wait this week.
Why is everybody so that's the weird
Not
remark.
Everybody. Not everybody. I was the only person on Houston Dallas. +9 last week. Thank you. Only person in America.
But people who are paid to talk into a hot microphone are saying their one observation about this team that has been pretty tough to knock to this point. Their big thing is like, yeah, we've seen this before with the Cowboys. Is that really the takeaway of the 2021 Dallas Cowboys?
No way. You haven't seen this defense. Maybe
I agree. I'm all in on these Cowboys.
Michael Gallup's been
out. I am not all in on the Cowboys. I haven't been all in on the Cowboys. I'm still not.
Martin, Patriots 15-4 against the spread since Belichick took over in 2000 as a home underdog.
Jeez, that's a good number.
Not for me, it isn't.
Sorry.
Lemon pepper parlay, you and TJ Houshmandzadeh
are in big disagreement about this pick. But I will say this, Scout. If me and TJ agree, we've only gotten three wrong all year, I believe, that we both agreed on.
Really?
I'm going to go back and get our exact record. Okay. But if we both agree on the pick, it's only been three that we've
gotten
wrong.
Get Hoosh and you,
years.
Put your heads it's together like and see if you agree on the seventh seed in the AFC. I'd be interested to hear that.
And see if Hoosh will bet Spaghetti $8,000 on the Rangers over.
I guarantee you Hoosh is not betting $8,000.
Okay. He does bet a lot.
He bets,
he bets with his friends. He's got a fun
To be a former NFL wide receiver, Pro Bowler, professional athlete, now in the media space, he is not spending his money on much of anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'd say this: of the 5 weeks we've done the podcast, it seems as if he's worn the same shirt five times.
Wow. What's he saving up for?
You tell me.
Yeah, he once spent $200. That's probably because he learned a bad lesson spending big. He spent $200 on a terrible towel once, and he doomed his Cincinnati Bengals in doing so.
Spaghetti, you and Jen Piacenti tomorrow. You're breaking in. What is that? 5 Eastern?
2 Pacific, 5 Eastern.
All
yes,
right.
We have,
I said 5 Eastern.
We have a guest, Howard Bender, on. So it's going to be a listener questions. I believe that Jen has a challenge for Howard. It's going to be a really fun show.
Yeah.
Wait, tomorrow now? This is now a Thursday shift?
Oh, it's today. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I thought today was Tuesday. Sorry. Yes, it is today. So by the time you listen to it, it'll be long over.
Don't take any questions from Sheck. He doesn't deserve it after this. After the show he put on earlier today.
Against all odds, we have the Thursday night game. We have props. We have first touchdown. Listen to that, and then we'll hit you back Friday with get you ready for the weekend. And that'll do it. Reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.